to 51. Vic Prado woke up to the tune of Take Me Out to the Ball Game coming from his iPhone. God, how he had come to hate that song, yet it played into his image. Everybody, but most particularly the star-struck investors, loved it when his phone went off in their presence. There were times he had arranged for someone to call him in the middle of a meeting to remind the people of just who he was, Vic Prado, former all-star second baseman for the Dodgers. If he survived his wicked hangover headache, he swore to change the ringtone to anything else. He didn't bother checking the incoming number. Part of him hoped it was Kayla, and, given the pounding in his head, he didn't want to be disappointed. "Vic here. You sound horrible. Kay?" "No, Vic, it's D." "D." He sat up too quickly in bed, and a jolt of pain shot through him. Worse, he got dizzy and nauseated. "Hold on a minute," he said. He put the phone down and scrambled through Jesse's house to find a bathroom. About 3 minutes later, he found his way back to the guest bedroom and the phone he'd left on the floor beside the bed. "D, you still there?" His voice was shaky. He was shaky.
"I'm here. Are you all right?"
"She left me, D. Kayla."
"I know, Vic."
"You knew about this and you didn't say anything to me?"
"I found out as she was packing her car to go. I don't think this was a big plan or anything."
"But why yesterday of all days? I mean, I didn't even see her for a few days."
Dee said, "I don't think it was about you as much as it was about her."
She liked that. It was one of those lines that sounded deep and significant, but actually meant very little.
"I guess. She said stuff about how unhappy she was with herself in the letter she left me. Do you know where she went?"
Dee lied. "No clue."
"Have you heard from her? Did she call or text you or anything?"
"No. Why? Was she supposed to?"
"She promised to call me when she got to where she was going, but I haven't heard from her."
"That's not like her," Vic said. "Then again, I'm not sure what's like her anymore. Leaving me the way she did isn't like her either."
"Are you okay?"
"I'm pretty hungover."
"Where are you?" Dee said, feigning concern. "I can come get you."
"Stoney's house."
"Stoney?"
"Jesse's. It's a long story. Listen, Dee, I gotta take something for my headache and get water in me. What are you calling for, anyway?"
Holding the photos Abe had given her in her hand, she said, "I need to see you."
That got Vic's full attention. Also got his hopes up. He'd always wanted Dee, but now that she was Jesse's, he wanted her even more.
"Maybe later. I'm wrecked."
"Call me when you're feeling better. I really need to see you," she said, stressing the word need. He noticed, but hung up without committing to a time. As much as he wanted to console himself with Dee, he had more pressing business. As he walked slowly around Jesse's house looking for aspirin, he thought back to the previous evening. The fight was nothing. Guys, even guys their age, found a certain comfort in mild forms of violence. Men were always testing themselves, testing one another. He remembered that his mom used to say that men got older, but they never grew up. Vic smiled, thinking about that and remembering his mom. Then the smile vanished as he remembered other parts of his time with Jesse. Why did Jesse have to bring up Bernstein and Salter? Why'd he have to bring up the dead girl and the Salter kid? Fuck. It had all gone so wrong. He had so carefully manipulated everything and everyone. And it had all blown up because of that idiot, Joe Breen. Thinking about Breen frustrated Vic at the best of times. Now it was making his headache even worse. He found a Costco-sized bottle of aspirin under the bathroom sink and swallowed a handful. He took another bunch and shoved them in his pocket. He went to the kitchen, drank the town reservoir half dry, and made an ice bag for his head. He found a note from Jesse on the counter. Too late, Vic thought. He'd already found the aspirin, and he was in no mood for food. As he waited for the aspirin to take hold, he walked past the poster of Ozzie Smith and made a face at it. Did I hesitate on that throw to Jesse? Did I want Kayla so bad that I tried to get Jesse hurt? It was impossible to know anymore. A half hour later,
He dialed Harlan Salter's phone number.